You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of the International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 18. I just want to establish a principle right off the bat. Base it on the Scripture. Amen. You know, we taught Wednesday night, if you weren't here, you know, we talk a lot about... I've taught on confession, about confessing the Word, praying the Word, saying the Word. Of course, if you come here enough, you're going to find that we teach all over the Bible. In other words, this is our manual, the Bible. I know some people may come a couple of times. We might be on a series on faith or a series on finances or a series on prayer or a series on reaching out to others, outreaches and so on. Or it could be anything. And if you come a couple of times, you walk away and say, well, all that church teaches is what you heard two times. But if you come over and over, you'll find that we teach on a lot of things. Are you with me? Do we believe in prosperity? You better believe we do. Do we believe in healing? Yes, we do. We believe in soul winning? Yes, we do. We believe in that. Believe in prayer? Oh, yeah. Do we believe in gifts of the Spirit? You better believe it. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. But obviously, we don't teach on any of those every single service. Because then, of course, we'd be in balance if we did that. So we're teaching on confession, not in the Catholic sense. God bless the Catholic. In the sense of confession that you go to confess your sins. We do confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's just and faithful to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be saved. The difference, of course, is that we confess to each other, not necessarily to a certain person. God bless the Catholics. We're not against Catholics. But confession of our sins, biblically speaking, well, we confess that to each other. We confess that to God. Some things I confess to others. Some things, none of your business, I just confess to God. Don't be pouring out your intimate secrets of your heart and your mind to everybody in the world. Come on, some things, it's just the devil attacking you, and you just need to confess that to God and get rid of it. Amen. But we do need to confess our sins, no question. That's not what we're teaching on right now. In fact, I love that verse, James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray you one for another that you may be healed. You know, it goes on and says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you know, I rarely get calls from people calling me confessing their sins. Generally, they're confessing others' sins. Yeah. And you're probably the same way. You probably rarely get calls from people saying, I just had to call you up and tell you what I did wrong today. It's usually calling you up and tell you what somebody else did wrong today. But the biblical Christian principle is that confess your sins, okay? Not somebody else's. So anyway, we've got enough people doing that. There's NBC, ABC, CBS. What we need as Christians, are you with me, is confess our own sin, amen, and pray for others. But this type of confession I'm talking about here this morning is confessing the Word, confessing what God says, confessing His promises. And then on the negative side, just confessing the wrong thing. You know, what you're saying continually is making an impact in your life. It's changing your future. It's painting a picture of your destiny, of what's going to happen in your future. You're painting either a good marriage or a bad one by what you say continually concerning that marriage. You're saying things over your children that are actually molding them and getting them on a wrong road or a right road. You're saying something over the church and so on and so forth. And in a broader sense, especially at times like these economic times that we're living in, we can join the world in confessing negatively the downfall of capitalism, the downfall of America, you know, and on and on and on and on. And if all you're doing is getting your information from the news, then you're getting a sad, sad report, and a bad, bad report. We need to get our information from God. I don't say don't watch the news and don't read the newspaper. I like what Brother Osteen used to always say, John Osteen, my pastor, going on to be with the Lord, Joel's dad. I always have to say that because I run into people, I say something about going to Lakewood Church, you know, 30 years ago. And they say, oh, Joel Osteen. I said, no, John. They say, well, who's he? So, that was Joel's daddy. But anyway, he used to always say this about the newspaper and the news. He says, oh, he said, I watch the news, newspaper from time to time. I like to keep up on the Antichrist. You know, see when he's coming and rising to power and all that stuff. But he'd also say, if someone had a newspaper, he had a Bible, he would say, hey, you got the bad news, I got the good news. You know? Yeah. And so in that sense, that's true. Our confession should be of what God says. It's not that we don't deny the facts. We don't deny the facts. We see reality. We know what it is. We see what's going on in the world. We're not ignorant of that. We're not saying it's not there. We're just saying that we can believe God and trust God, and we can win. We can get through this. Amen. Amen. 1,000 may fall on our side, 10,000 on our right hand will not come nigh us. Only with our eyes shall we behold the reward of the wicked, because we've made the Lord, who is our refuge, the Most High, our strength. He'll take care of us. Amen. Psalms 91 tells us that. And of course, Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want; I shall not lack." And so that's what we're saying. Maybe there's things going on in the world. Sure, we see that. We can't control all that. But I'll tell you what, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm a child of the Most High God, and He said He'd take care of me. I haven't lost my faith or my trust in God. He's still there. His word's still true. He's still on the throne. I opened the Bible up this morning. Those promises are still here. Amen. So I'm not going to fall with the world. I'm going to pray for the world, pray for our economy, pray for our president, pray for our election coming up. I'm going to vote, you know, vote my conscience and vote the Bible when I get to the voting poll. But all that said and done, when it all comes down to it, the power's not really in the White House. The power's really in my house on my knees praying in Jesus' name. The biggest effect, the biggest power, the biggest influence on me and my family is what I say and what I pray, what you say and what you pray. You say, what if our government just goes down the tubes? You know, God's people prospered wherever they were. It just didn't matter whether they're in slavery. It didn't matter. God always prospered His people when they trusted Him.
That's right.
Always blessed them. Always took care of them. Are you with me? Now, we're not saying just give up on the land you live in. Give up on the government you're under. Give up on that country. No, you're supposed to pray. You're under a mandate to pray. But don't get in doubt and unbelief concerning you and your household. God's responsible for me. The Lord's my shepherd. I do what I do in the natural the best I can, and I trust God. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to watch my mouth. Woohoo! Okay, so, did I tell you where to turn to? That's good. Proverbs 18, great book. Proverbs is one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorite books. That's one of them. Proverbs 18, notice what it says here. And it's a well-known passage of Scripture, 20 and 21. A man's stomach or belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit, or eat the fruit thereof, I think King James says. Death and life. Death and life. So what he's saying here is that what I'm saying continually, what I confess continually, what I'm always saying about my family, about my job, and so on and so forth, it actually can be a positive or a negative, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. The ground is a neutral thing when you think about it. What it grows is what you put in it. It's a very neutral thing. I mean, you can just have ground out here. You can plant watermelons. You can plant yellow squash. Or you can be negligent, not plant anything, and something will get in there. Most likely something you don't want. Weeds, thorns, thistles, so on and so forth. But one thing for sure is something's going to grow. That's just what we were made to do. We're made to produce, made to make things happen. And that's why God put us down here, is to take authority over the earth. See, God didn't just make us to rule over us. That's not what He did. He made us to fellowship with us, to love us, but He also made us to extend His kingdom. He made us to have authority over the earth. That's, if you go read the account in Genesis, it says God created man and gave him authority. Genesis 1:28 says, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." 1:26, after our image, after our likeness, and let them have authority. And where Adam dropped the ball is where he misused and abused his authority. He violated what God said he could do or should do. And you and I, as Christians, well, goodness, we're supposed to extend God's authority, extend His blessing, extend His word, expand His kingdom. But what we're doing many times is listening to what the world's saying, listening to the news and so on and so forth. And we're repeating that and trying to expand that and trying to extend that. Hello, we'll sit around a gas pump and talk about how bad the gas prices are. Well, I know it's been disappointing this week because they've gone down. A lot of people got to be discouraged about that, about those gas prices going down. But, you know, leave it to the world to come up with something negative to say even then. I've heard people say, well, yeah, this down below $3, it ought to be about $1.50. Hello. You know, we just can't be happy. Just not going to get happy. So what we've got to do is realize what we're here for. We're here to confess God's word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's speak some life instead of some death. Let's speak life over our families and over our children and over our business and over our marriage and so on and so forth, and not speak death. Over our nation, speak it. I believe we can make it. I believe still that the United States of America is the greatest country on the face of this earth. I believe that. I really firmly believe that this is a nation that was built under God. Maybe there's a lot of people in office that do not believe that. But you know what? I still live here. You still live here. And you still have a say-so in prayer and faith and so on and so forth. We still send out more missionaries than anybody in the world. Thank God for the United States of America. 4 or 5 of you, I think that's wonderful. God bless the United States of America. So what about its sins? Well, you know, what about its sins? Well, let's pray for the sins of the... I hadn't committed them. I hope you hadn't. Let's pray for those that have. We're not against those people that have sinned. But there are still some righteous people in this nation. God was going to spare all of Sodom and Gomorrah just for 10 righteous. You know, that's when Abraham started out with, there are 50 righteous, we'd destroy the city. He said, no, not for 50. And he said, well, Lord, I got to ask you again, how about 30? Well, no, not 30. Well, what about 10? That's where we get Jewing people down, the first Jew, you know. Actually, Abraham was a Hebrew. He wasn't even a Jew yet. The Jew came from Judah, the tribe of Judah, which is a child of Isaac, who's a child of Jacob. Isaac, who was Jacob, child of Isaac. Judah was a child of Jacob, who was a child of Isaac, who was a child of Abraham. Okay, I'll get it in a minute. I'm still out there in Hawaii, y'all. I'm trying to get back on the mainland here. But Abraham, no, see, Jude him down, you know, from 50 to 10, and he stopped. If he kept going, if he'd gone about down 1 or 2, you know, then they would have spared the city. Lot would have made it. But God would have spared that whole city for 10. Are there not 10 righteous in the United States of America? Come on. God's blessing still on this nation. Not because of its sins. Not because of its problems. Not because of the wacko ideals that were in laws and some legislations being passed. But God's still hand is still in this country because of Christians, because of believers, and there's a lot of them. Amen. And there's also good legislation that's being passed. Yeah. Isn't that right, Betty? Yeah. Okay, amen. Yeah. So, you know, we don't need to give up. Give up with our confession. Give up with our tongue. Give up with what we're saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In fact, if you start talking negatively, you can destroy your own world. You know, Proverbs says a man with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Well, also biblically, we can see we can destroy our own self with our mouth. The fool's mouth calls for strokes, Proverbs says also. I think that's interesting. Calls for, you know, double nickels, you know, licks. Fine. I remember when I was lost, most of every fight I ever got into, I called for it. I started it. In fact, it didn't look like it was going to happen. I kept it going. I fanned the flames to make sure that people would start hitting each other, you know, and throwing punches and so on. A fool's mouth calls for strokes. I thought I was cool. I was just a fool, you know. But you can turn that around. The tongue of the wise brings health. Amen. And a soft answer, Proverbs 15:2 tells us, a soft answer turns away wrath. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. That's a profound verse when you think about it. Proverbs 15:2 says the tongue, it says a soft answer turns away wrath, and the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. You know, what's going on in the world today? It's knowledge, but it's not to be confessed and believed concerning the future. It's not to be extrapolated or laid over on your life, and because you're hearing all these bad things, to take that knowledge and use it to determine your future. You say, what do you mean? What am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to pray against it? In fact, this is the knowledge you're supposed to use concerning your future. And if you're going to start dictating or prophesying the way your life's going to be and your house is going to be and your land's going to be and your job's going to be and your wife's going to be and your children's going to be, then why don't you base it on God's word instead of what's going on in the world? Amen. Circumstances don't really have the power to change us. It's how we react to the circumstances that changes us. It's not what happens to us. It's what we do when something happens to us. It's what we believe that determines our future. Our destiny, our future is determined by what we say and what we pray, not by circumstances that happen to us. There's countless testimonies of people who rose above circumstances throughout history. Come on. And even in your own life, you can think of times that you beat the odds, that you rose above the circumstance. Something bad happened, but it didn't determine the outcome in your life. It didn't determine what you were going to do or be. Are you with me? And of course, we have the principles in God's Word about confessing His Word and saying what He says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Turn to Numbers 13. This is a classic account of just what I am saying. And just to give you a synopsis, don't have time to read all this. There were 12 spies that were sent out into the land of Canaan. All the children of Israel had come out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The 10 plagues had come. God had delivered them. They got to the Red Sea, were backed up against the Red Sea. The Egyptian army coming down hard upon them. Moses, you know the story, stretched out his rod. God told him to stretch his rod out. And then as he did that, the sea split. They all crossed by dry land. And when the Egyptian army tried to do that, they were inundated or flooded and killed. God wiped out the whole Egyptian army in pursuit of Israelites in the Red Sea, the same sea they crossed by dry land. The Egyptian's army died in, were flooded in, drowned in. They sang a great song of victory in the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. God has tried to sing a song the other night. God has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. That's the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. Miriam had her tambourine. She was dancing. Hello. Aaron was, you know, he was moonwalking, doing some rapping to the music, you know. They were celebrating. I'm trying to put it in the modern terms so we can get it. They were dancing and celebrating, you know, and they said, you know, God has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider's thrown into the sea. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song has now become my victory. And that's there. It's all in the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. They're all excited. Now they come up to the close to the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross over into the land of Canaan, the promised land that God called them out to go to. They had not gone through a wilderness experience yet. Okay, that was later. And they sent 12 spies out to spy out the land just to see what kind of land it was, to see whether it was good or, you know, what kind of cities there were, who the people were, and so on and so forth, and come back and report to Moses. Land that God had given to them. Whether God gave it to them or not was not in question. He already gave it to them. Whether they could have it or not was not in question. They could have it. God said they could have it. 12 spies didn't go in for that reason. They went in just to see what kind of land it was, to find out their strategy, where they were going to go first, and what kind of land they were going to see and live in. But see, they begin to play God just like we do a lot of times. We try to figure out how God's going to do something. We give Him two or three options, and those don't look too good, so we give up. Because we try to manipulate God and tell Him how to do it. God's made us a promise He'll take care of us, and then we begin to look at the stock market. Or we look at gas prices. Or we look at the economy. Or we look at the housing market. Or we look at the banking industry. And we begin to say, well, you know, that's about four or five ways. That's it, God. You're done. But see, we messed up when we even tried to figure out how God was going to bless us. God can do it another way besides those ways. In fact, God's got a million ways of taking care of us. We limit God. That's what Psalm 78 tells us, incidentally, if you read that whole account. It says the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. How? They said, and it's there in Psalm 78, went over this other night, they said, can God provide? Can God provide in the wilderness? Can God provide a table? That would be a good question today. Can God help us in this economy? Can God help us with these gas prices? Can God help us with a mortgage situation? I mean, it was okay to believe God when things were going good, but now things aren't going so good. And you know, God's kind of limited. I wonder how much money God lost in the stock market. How many houses did He have to foreclose on because of foreclosures? You know, I mean, really, come on, that's ridiculous to think like that, because God's economy is totally different than our economy. And the way God blesses us is totally different than sometimes the way we think of. I always say this, if you're believing for a financial miracle, don't wear the grass out between your front door and a mailbox. It may come another way. And when you have two or three ways for God to do something, that's it, and those two or three ways fall apart, you're done. Stick the fork in. But if you don't care how God does it and you're not thinking about how He's doing it, you're just trusting Him to do it, then leave the how up to God. How was never your realm of influence or your responsibility. How never was your responsibility. You do what you can do. You do what you know to do. And you know what? You can't do what you can't do, God can do. And where you lack, He takes up slack. Well, these 12 spies, they went in there and they saw all this land, came back. 10 of them came back and began to give a report about their ability to take the land, which was not what God sent them in there to do. which was not what they were supposed to think about anyway, whether they could or whether they couldn't. They could because God said so. Case closed. Amen? Amen. That point was over, period. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. But no, they came back and talked about how good the land was. Then they had to talk about how little they were and how big those giants were. And little old me and big old economic problems out here. And little old me and big old government problems out here. Little old me and big banking problems out here. Little old me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Then we put on all the blues records and we start talking about how low and terrible we have it. And we start whining and moaning. We have a pity party and only two people show up. You and the devil. And then you begin to multiply that thing. Actually, when you have a pity party, a lot of people show up, if you know the truth. Because you start talking bad like that, people join in. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like we got a whole church out there. It's the church of the unbelievers. You know, they. Any gas pump you stop at, you don't have to know that person. You start talking about that no good OPEC and then no good gas prices, these big oil companies, and before long, you got a whole group of, it's terrible. Didn't even get their name, find out where they lived or anything, you know, but you got a common enemy. You know. Well, they came back and they brought this bad report. The bad report was real simple. They just said they couldn't do what God said they could do. Bottom line, that's it. They said, we can't do this. God said, yes, you can. They said, no, we can't. God said, yes, you can. They said, no, we can't. Hello. I can't make it. God said, yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Are you with me? I don't know how I'm going to make it. Whoa. I'm going to take care of you. That's what God said. I'm your shepherd. I'll make sure you don't want. You do what you can do. I'll do what you can't do. But you have got to trust me. They said, notice this, 13th chapter. Man, this is 31st verse. It said, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. And then they got bad. The 33rd verse says, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Here's the bad part. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The way they saw themselves really determined their destiny. What they said about themselves determined their destiny. Death and life were in the power of the tongue. And they convinced the greater part of Israel. There were two spies that didn't believe that. Two spies believed what God said, Caleb and Joshua. They said, we're well able to overcome them. Let us go up at once and possess the land. They all saw the same thing. But two spies focused on something different. Listen, we can all see what's going on in the world that we live in. But what matters is not what we all see. What matters is what we focus on. When I get through here this morning, we'll all head out these doors, one of the two doors here. Most everybody goes out the door to my left, to your right, the back. I'm sure there's a lot going on in here. You know, when we get through, the flags will still be up, the lights will be on, the pulpit will still be here. There'll be kids jumping off the pulpit. I'll have to be correcting and getting on too. Kids are running around. We'll have to slow down. Slow down, you know. A lot going on, but you know what? You'll focus on that door. And that's going to determine your destiny. You're going to head toward that door and you're going to walk out that door. Lots going on. You can see a lot of things, but it's not what you see that determines what you do or where you go. It's what you focus in on that determines where you go. Do I not see the news? Of course, I've got a TV. I see the news. I mean, come on. I get gas. I hear people at the gas pump. Hello. I see what's going on. I hear what's going on. But you know what? I'm focusing in on what God says. I'm focusing in on I'm well able to overcome. I'm focusing in on my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I'm focusing in on, you know, Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. Hallelujah. I'm focusing in on Psalms 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. I'm focusing on Psalm 34, 10. Says the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing.
Amen.
I'm going to focus in on that. I'm going to focus in on Deuteronomy 28, 1, where it says, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right in His sight, keep His commandments which He commands you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you.
Yeah.
Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, the increase of your cattle. The Lord shall cause the rain to come down your land and the seed. He'll command the blessing upon all that you put your hand to. You be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Lend to many nations and shall not borrow.
Amen.
I want to focus in on that.
Yes.
Focusing on what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Oh, I see everything, but I'm focusing in on what God says.
Yes.
Now, that's true for marriage. That's true for ministry. That's true for church. That's true for raising children. That's true for job. That's true. If Jesus is Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all.
Right.
I think in ministry we fall in that trap. Every minister you talk to seems like they just, you know, I just can't, don't have the money to do that. Don't have the money to do that. Don't have the money. I don't know. We just like to do that. Just don't have that. Well, you know, quit saying it and start believing God. You're not going to be able to do everything right away. I understand that. But we got to quit that mentality, quit that kind of talking, and start saying, well, you know, where God guides, He provides. Where God gives vision, He gives provision. Hallelujah. If He told me go this direction, I'm going to go this direction. I'll take the first step. Maybe I can't take 100 steps, but I can take the first step. You got a mile of fence to put up. I will tell you how to start. Put in the first post. Then put in the second one. Another way we say it, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Come on. And so, you know, you just have to start somewhere. But let's start. Let's don't hang back in doubt and unbelief and stagger, waver like the waves of the sea. Let's get our confession straight. Let's start saying the right thing. They begin to say the wrong thing. They convinced the greater part of Israel to believe them. It appears to me as I read this that only Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua Joshua believed, Moses believed, and Aaron, I'm not so sure about him, but it sounded like they were the only ones left believing. They even talked about stoning Moses and Aaron because they wouldn't join them in their unbelief. People will think you're crazy if you start believing God. They'll think you're nuts because you're not in doubt and unbelief like everybody else. Are you crazy? Well, let me tell you something. Success has always been just a little off-center. You just think about that. If you're going to succeed in life, you can't just go down the road like everybody else. God, deliver me from mediocrity. Because if we're just doing what everybody else is doing, we're going to just get what everybody else got. We're going to have to start believing God to get out of this thing. Amen? They said, notice this 14th chapter. Y'all still with me? Notice what they said in the third verse. This is amazing. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Would God that we had died in Egypt, you know? Wow. Well, now they're not just talking about the situation. Now they're talking about God. You know, there's about three things you need to get straight in your confession. What you say about God, what you say about yourself, and what you say about the situation. That really is very vitally important. You know, David said in Psalms 91, he said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. My God, in Him will I trust. My shield, my buckler. In fact, we quoted Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, if you look at David's confessions, what he said about God was that God helped him, God provided for him, God delivered him, God prospered him, God protected him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So his confession about God, his confession about himself and about his situation or his circumstance, was he kept it straight. Here they kind of got off base a little bit, wouldn't you think? They're not just going to go under, but now they're accusing God of bringing them out here to kill them. And God was going to accommodate them. He got so mad, he thought he would just go ahead and let them have it. Read the story, I mean, that's what it says. And Moses prayed and talked them out of it. You read it. I mean, it's there. It says it. Moses interceded with him. And you know what he appealed to? He actually appealed to God's fame, God's name. I taught this in the men's breakfast yesterday about God doing what he does for his name's sake. It's not always just about you. You know, you need to be blessed so God looks good, in the sense that you need to be saved and serving God, because you know what? It makes Him look good when you're saved and serving God. Going over when everybody else is going under. No sin in being poor. No sin in tragedy happening. No sin in something being wrong with you. Don't twist what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, I think there is a sin in wanting to stay there. There's a sin in not allowing God to get you out of it and not trying to rise above it. If you're in a situation of poverty or sickness or whatever the case may be, we love you. We're for you. We're not against you. We're not saying you're bad at all. We're not saying that's bad. It happens to us all. But I think it is sinful to want to stay right there and not try to get out of it, to not believe God, not to... Are you with me? Because God, for His name's sake, that's what Moses really told him. He says, God, now if you do that... And God told him, He says, I'll raise up another generation out of you. I'm tired of these yahoos. These hammerheads. They're not just upset about where we are. They're accusing me of trying to kill them out here in the wilderness and so on and so forth. I mean, we direct our attention and our blame. We want to blame somebody. We hardly ever want to take the blame. I'm telling you, I love that Pogo cartoon where he comes out of the swamp, you know, years ago when he has this pot on his head turned sideways and a mop stick over here. And he comes out of the swamp and he says, we have found the enemy, and he is us. I think we are our own worst enemy sometimes by what we've been saying and what we've been believing for, really, believing the wrong thing. I mean, we got our faith in it. We are really believing to go under. We are trusting. We can't wait for it to happen so we can tell everybody, you remember I said this. I told you so. Well, anyway, Moses talked God out of it. He says, God, now what are the Egyptians going to say if you do something like that? You brought them out here and couldn't take care of them. Wiped them out. Not going to look good, God. You're not going to look good. I wonder if we think much about how God looks. See, we need the promises of God working in our lives. We need to be praying. We need to be living holy. And all. Why? Because we're reflections of Him. Hello. Every healing is a testimony of God's goodness. All these the testimonies we heard today. You know what that does? That makes God look good. Makes God look so good. Mark was telling me about what a great job opportunity he got, and been off for several months now, and they kept believing, and you know, and got a great job, got hired on and everything. Tremendous testimony. And when he told me all that, and I said, well, it sounds like Jesus. That just sounds just like Jesus. And it does. It just sounds just like Jesus. And here's Chris giving us a testimony this morning about a better job that he got, and got a job, and got laid off, but didn't give up. Just kept believing, got another one. You may be in that interim. Don't you give up. Don't you stop believing and trusting God. God can do the miraculous if you'll just trust Him. Listen, He provided for the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. I don't know how bad the economy has gotten, but I don't think we're quite in the wilderness yet. No Walmart. No Starbucks. You think that's a miracle? And I'll say this to my wife and girls. No coupons. These are the coupon ladies. I mean, they'll get coupons out of recycle bins. They're like the dumpster divas. I mean, I just call them dumpster divers, recycle raiders. I don't know what we'd call them. Anyway, but they save a lot of money on coupons, you know, and so on and so forth. They didn't have anything like that. They didn't have stores. They didn't have any. Yet God caused water to come out of rocks and bread fall out of heaven. Wow, I think God can take care of us. I really believe He can. Anyway, God did spare them, but He didn't let them go in the promised land. It limited His ability to bless them. It limited His ability to give them His best, what He really wanted. What limited His ability? What they said. What they said. In fact, notice this. God's talking to Moses, and He tells him to tell them, 28th verse of the 14th chapter, Numbers 14:28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. What? What does God do? Just as I speak in His hearing, He does. What? Wait. Well, that's not right. We're not talking about what's right here. We're talking about what the Bible says. I mean, actually, it is right, but you know, we want to just argue. We're like little lawyers every time we go to God, you know. We want to defend a case that's indefensible, you know. God said this is the way it is. Now, you may not like it, but that's the way it is. If you're going to talk that way, you're going to get what you say. That's what God said. I didn't say that. That's not some New Age teaching. That's not some positive confession or negative confession teaching. That's not some mind science cult. That's not Christian science. This is Christian sense. This is what's written. Well, I don't like it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's the way it is. I'm just fed up with gravity. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're fed up with it. Jump off the house. You're going to hit the ground. I don't believe it anymore. Well, I'll go down to the emergency room and come see you. Because you're going to be breaking a lot of legs if you just quit believing in gravity. That's a law. This is a law. This is a spiritual law. If you keep talking a certain way, you're going to get certain things. If you keep saying things about God, you're going to limit God and what He can do. In fact, He is going to do in your... Boy, this is wild. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Wow. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, just like you said. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Poor guy didn't have any parents. But anyway. If I just told these jokes so many times, they're not funny anymore. This is why you need to go out and witness to people, get new people in. Because my jokes are new to people that haven't been here. Okay. Except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Why? Why is that? Why did God do that? Because of what they said. What does God do in my life? Well, now, He's not a machine. I'm not manipulating Him. It's not that. I'm not pulling levers and pushing buttons. God's not in the box. Well, no, the truth, I'm in the box. You're in the box. When you get in faith, you step out of the box. You don't turn God on when you pray and believe. He's already on. It's like a water faucet, if you can imagine, a pie flowing. When you get in faith, you get under the spout. It's already flowing. You're just not under it. God's already moving. You're just not in the move. You can imagine God flowing down this aisle, flowing His power flowing down this aisle. When you get in faith, you don't turn God on, you turn yourself on. You don't move God, you move yourself. You get yourself in the flow. You get out of your seat and in the flow. You get under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. Amen. So they put themselves in the wrong position. They weren't in the position to be blessed by God. They weren't in the flow of what God was doing because of their unbelief. And it cost them greatly. In fact, turn to Malachi 3. I'll close this out. Give me just a few more minutes. Is this helping you? Now, I don't want to sound too hard, but I don't want to just be mamby-pamby about this either. I think sometimes we're so concerned about offending anybody that we don't ever tell them what they need to hear. But you know, by the same token, you don't want to be so mean about the truth that you purposely offend people, and we don't want to purposely make you mad. I realize I'm not everybody's cup of tea. There's a lot of good churches out here. Find one. Get in it. Amen. If this is it, come on. We'd love to have you. I'm not going to make everybody happy. I understand that. Everybody doesn't make me happy. But as long as I'm not immoral, and if you can't argue with the Word, if we've got something unscriptural going on here, you've got a case. But if it's just a matter of the Word, well, you know, we're going to have to be a man, be a woman, and take it and make the changes in our life. Let's mature. Let's grow. Amen? It's gone past the time of just patting each other on the back. There's time for comfort. There is time for that. But I think if we're just so negative and just so full of doubt and unbelief, sometime we need to be slapped in the head. When I was a little kid, my dad was in the military, and we traveled a lot. I was born in East Texas, and we subsequently moved back to East Texas and lived the rest of my life there. But when I was a little kid, I lived in Alabama for a while, around base Fort Rooker, Alabama was a base there. And in Alabama, if at that time, in those days, way back then, 15 years ago when I was 5 or 10, might have been a little longer, but anyway, if you said something wrong in the class, if you said any form of God, gosh, golly, or gee, the teacher would have you stand up and make you slap yourself. Right in front of the class. Michael Williams, you stand up and slap yourself. I heard that. You know, I said gosh or something. You know, any form of it was just bad. And so I said slap yourself. I mean, she wouldn't put up with a little slap. She'd make sure if it got real bad, she'd take you to the sink and wash your mouth out with soap, and nobody'd file child abuse on you. There were no lawyers to defend your case. There was a mom and dad that was going to beat you to a bloody pulp when you got home, okay? That actually was with the teacher on this deal, you know. But anyway, we, you know, I think sometimes we need to slap ourselves. Amen. I mean, think about it. Sarah Palin would have got slapped so many times. Gosh, golly gee, you know, like, you know, because she always, okay. I love Sarah Palin. I just thought about that. But we need to be arrested and awakened. We're going down the wrong road here. We have got to get back in faith. We've got to get back to believing God. New concept. We've got to trust God. We've got to trust what His Word says. Amen. We've got to get His Word and start standing on it. Oh, I know about the gas price. I'm praying about that. I know about the I'm praying. We've got an election coming. I'm praying. I'm going to go down and vote. I'm going to do all those things. But I've got my faith in God. I'm trusting God for my marriage, trusting God for my family, trusting God for this church. I'm trusting God to meet my needs, take care of me. I'm doing everything I know to do, and what I can't do, what I can't control, God can. Hallelujah. And He's got a million ways of blessing me, and He's going to take care of me because He's not a man that He would lie, nor the son of man He'd repent. I am a tither. I am a giver. The Bible says if I tithe, You'll bless me. Jesus said if I give, it'd be given to me. Mark said this, I think, in men's breakfast yesterday. He says, I go to God when I pray, and I tell God, look, I'm a tither. I have a right to be blessed. It is your right, God-given right. God said it right here. If you do what He says, He will do what He says. Malachi 3:10, let's read it. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes to the storehouse that there may be food or meat in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord. If I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you do not have room to receive. Windows of what? Heaven. Not the windows of the economy on the earth. Not the windows of the government of the country you live in. Not the windows of the job you're working on. Not the windows of... Hello? I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, I've quoted it several times already, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to economy, not according to job, not according to this. We do all those things because we're supposed to as Christians. The Bible tells us to work. But God supplies our needs according to His riches and glory. He opens up the windows of heaven and blesses us. Amen? So He says this, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not have room to receive it. Because God doesn't just want to bless you. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants to give you more than you need to help others. Amen? Give you an extra $13. So you can take $13 and have a $1 million testimony. I'll tell you what, I'd have paid $13 just for that testimony. I think I'd have paid $20 for it. Anybody give me $50? Come on. I mean, come on, those testimonies are worth more than what they, you know, initially are. Come on. Oh, man. Okay. And, 11th verse, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God Himself will rebuke the devourer if I'm a tither and a giver. He'll take care of that situation. I don't have to worry about all that. I just keep doing my thing, keep giving to God, and keep trusting God, and God will do what I can't do. I may be like a grasshopper in their sight, but I'm not a grasshopper in my sight. I'm more than a conqueror in my sight and God's sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in my sight and His sight. Greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. Amen? And then He says this. I rebuke the devourer for your sake, so they will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations of the earth shall call you blessed. For you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen close, I'm going to close with this, which doesn't mean a whole lot. It may take a while to close, but I'm closing. Your words have been stout or harsh against me, says the Lord. Wow. This is what God wants to do, but all of a sudden now, their words have been hard against Him. Kind of like children of Israel, their words were hard, stout. Yeah, you know, the title of my message is Wednesday night, when I taught Wednesday night, I call it What Not to Say. You know, we ought to know what to say, but you know what? You need to know what not to say. There are certain things you don't need to be saying about God, about yourself, and about the world that you live in. And here, obviously, they were saying the wrong thing. Your words have been stout against me or harsh against me, says the Lord. And yet you say, what have we spoken against you? What did we say about you, God? What? I didn't do anything. Sound like little kids, don't they? What? Listen to this. You have said, 14th verse, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? It doesn't pay the tithe. Isn't that what he's saying? That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, that's what I said. This is what I said about it. And you've turned right around and said, it doesn't work. You turn right around and says it doesn't make one bit of difference. We're no different in the world. I tell you, whatever happens, the world's going to happen to us. Whatever they're saying about the economy is going to affect us because we're no different than they are. We're Christians, but that doesn't mean anything. No, it does mean something. I am a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a believer in His Word. Hello? God's on my side. Amen? And you know what? No matter what happens out there, God's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. God's going to bless me. You say, what about the stock market? I don't know about the stock market. A lot of people lost money in the stock market. A lot of people made money in the stock market. I don't know. You know, he's, well, man, I've lost it all. Well, don't give up on God. Well, I'm trying to sell my house. It won't sell or whatever. You know, the mortgage companies and all that going on. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, no, you're going to believe God. Let's trust God. You are different than everybody else. You are a Christian. You are a believer. You have a right to this, as Mark said. I think that's so good. And he says this, you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord our host, Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those OPEC people, wicked people. For those who do wickedness are raised up, and they even tempt God and go free. There's no justice in this world. No justice. Just is. You know, we hear things like that. No, you're not in a box. You're not trapped. You can believe God. You can trust Him. Amen? But you've got to watch your mouth. You've got to watch what you say. You've got to watch what you pray. Watch what you say about God. Watch what you say about yourself. Watch what you say about your circumstances, your situation. Amen? And I don't have time to go into all. There's several other scriptures we can get to. I encourage you to dig into it. And, you know, I think about with the parable of the talents, what Jesus said to that man that hid his talents. He said, out of your own mouth, I will judge you. He said, I was afraid of you, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. You're a hard man. Made accusations against his master, against the Lord. And Jesus said, out of your own mouth, I'll judge you. Wow. Does it matter what you say? Well, according to God's Word, it does. And if you want to know the truth, those that say they can't, those that say they can, are both right. You just make your choice which one you want to be. Amen?